How's everybody doing today? I was just having a second there while the band was singing. I just want to say that I'm thankful. I'm really thankful for this church. I'm thankful for our band that comes up and leads us in worship every week. I'm thankful for the Bennetts and just this church. I'm really thankful. So I just wanted to just say that and give a shout out to everybody that helps make Sunday mornings happen and that just makes this church happen. So I'm Matt, if you don't know me. I've been here every day since the beginning, since the church started about 6 years ago almost now. I was gone for most of last year. I was in Honduras. I've shared about that before from up here. But now I'm back. My wife and I are back here, and we volunteer lead the everyday youth group. Shout out to you guys right here in the front. How you doing? I occasionally preach up here, so that's me. I think I know pretty much everyone that's here today. But if there's anybody that doesn't know me or doesn't know me that well, never hesitate just to introduce yourself. Also, side note, as far as the youth group goes, we also, as Kevin said, they're looking for more band people to get involved with the band. We're always looking for adults to help get involved with the youth too. So if you're ever interested in volunteering, serving with us, then just talk to me or Kayla. We'd love to see how we can get you connected to that. Last week, we're in our family reunion series here, and last week, I believe Wendy spoke about how we are family. I wasn't actually here. Is that what she spoke about? We are family? I think. I was sick, so it wasn't anything personal. I didn't, skip the sermon or anything, but I'm better. I'm back, and now I'm going to speak this morning on how we are, or at least we should be, a growing family. I want to start just by sharing the main idea and the theme verse for this series that we're in that Wendy actually wrote. It goes like this. It says, "Church is not something that you go to or a building, but as the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, God's family is the church. We are the church. We are the family of God every day." That idea that we read in 1 Timothy that we are the church, that the people are the church, the body of Christ, is a very important truth that we need to understand. It's a biblical truth. It's sometimes kind of hard for us to think of it that way because we tend to think of church as an event that we attend or a building that we go to. But in reality, the church is the people. We are the church. When we come together, we are the church. And it's very important also that we understand that as we look and think about church growth, what it means to be a growing church or a growing family of God. It's very important that we remember that it's the people. It's not a service or a building or a place. It's actually the people. So I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, but first I'm going to pray and then dive into the message. So pray with me. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. Like I said before, I'm just really thankful this morning. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the leadership here and everyone that volunteers and helps to just make this church run and function. And Lord, I just thank you for the way that you're present here among us and that your Holy Spirit guides us and guides our decisions. And I just invite your Spirit into this place right now. I just ask that whatever I share this morning wouldn't be my words or me sharing, but it would be you sharing through me. And also I pray that you would open up my heart and the heart of everyone that's here this morning, that if there's anything that you want us to change in our life so that our life can better reflect who you are and your love and your kingdom, Lord, that we would be willing to make changes today if there's anything that we need to change. We thank you for who you are and just ask that you be with us all this morning. Amen. So in John chapter 1, we read about some of the first followers of Jesus and how they came to follow him. John the Baptist, the one that came before Jesus, is actually Jesus' cousin, came before him to prepare the way for Jesus. He was standing next to the Jordan River with some of his followers. And Jesus walked past. And John the Baptist pointed Jesus out to his followers and he said, "Look, that is the one. That is the Lamb of God." Upon saying this, two of his followers left him and immediately went and they followed Jesus. One of those men was named Andrew. After spending some time with Jesus, Andrew left and he went back to the town that he was from to find his brother. He went and he found his brother Simon and he told his brother, "Simon, we have found the Messiah." And he brought his brother Simon with him back to Jesus, and he introduced Simon to Jesus, and then Simon became a follower of Jesus. Jesus renamed Simon Peter. You may have heard of Peter before. Just a short time after that, Jesus was on his way to Galilee. And on the road to Galilee, he encountered a man on the road named Philip. When he saw Philip, he told Philip, "Philip, follow me." And Philip said, "Yeah," and he became a follower of Jesus right then. And then a little while later, Philip left and he went to the town that he was from and found his brother, Nathanael. And he said, "Nathanael, we have found the one that Moses wrote about. We have found the man. It is this man, Jesus, from Nazareth." Nathanael was very skeptical of his brother telling him this. And, you know, he was like, "This man from Nazareth, you know, what are you talking about?" But he said, "You know what? I'll go check it out for myself. Let's go see." So he went and he goes with Philip. Philip brings him back to Jesus and introduces him to Jesus. And Nathanael has an incredible conversation with Jesus. And after, by the end of this conversation, Nathanael says to Jesus, "Truly you are who you say you are. You are the Messiah." And Nathanael became a follower of Jesus. Some of these first followers of Jesus, and then throughout church history, Christians that have come to know the Lord all throughout church history, dating all the way back to the first century, have come just because someone brought them along with them. Someone, whether a friend or a family member, a sibling, said, "Hey, come and check out this Jesus that I know about. Let me introduce you to him." And through the word of mouth, through someone bringing some others along, the church has grown into what it is today. While I was growing up, my family and I, we weren't really church-going people too much. We would go, like, to Mass on Christmas or Easter. We were people that Adam likes to refer to as creasters. It's a word I never heard before, Adam, but he has apparently told me that I was a creaster. In my family, we were creasters growing up. We just went to church on Christmas and Easter. So we were creasters. We'd go to Mass on Christmas, on Easter, and then you know, my sister, she had a really good friend from elementary school. And her friend and her friend's family, they were members of the Christian church that was right up the street from our house. They spent a lot of time, you know, her going over to her friend's house, her friend coming to our house. And over time, our parents got to know one another. And from time to time, her friend and also her friend's parents, they would invite our family to come to their church. Whenever they were having a special event or, you know, whenever there was a holiday, they would invite us to come and fellowship with them. My parents normally politely declined, or maybe they said they would come, but they never really went. Until one year, at the last minute on Christmas Eve, they decided they wanted to go to church. And it was too late. We had already missed Mass. And they remembered, my sister Melissa's friends, their church meets tonight, and they invited us to go, and it was a little later than Mass. So they said, "Let's go to that." So we ended up going to church that night, and it was a good experience. We went back, I think, for the next holiday. We went back again, I think, the next year on Christmas. And then eventually we went on a Wednesday night, and we started going occasionally on Wednesday nights, then a little more regularly. Then we went on a Sunday morning, and that's the church where we eventually plugged into and became members of. And that's where my family and I all were baptized together and came to know the Lord in that church and grew up in the faith there. And that was all just because of my sister's friend and her friend's family inviting us along to come into fellowship with them. I'm sure most of you all here today have a story similar to that. If you grew up in the church, you know, maybe it wasn't you, but it was a family member before you. Like, for example, my wife Kayla, she's been in church since she was born. But her father, who's a pastor now, he wasn't a Christian growing up. And he had a friend that invited him along to a vacation Bible school that he went to. And through that, he came to know the Lord. And then her whole family, you know, came to know the Lord through that. I'm sure many of you, you know, someone at some point in your life invited you along to a church. Or maybe if this is your first church, that was you here. You had never really been in church before or been in church that much. And someone here maybe invited you to our church service on Sunday morning. Or maybe they invited you to one of our everyday groups. Or maybe they just invited you to hang out with their friends who happen to be Christians and all go to this church. I don't know how it started for you, but most people have stories that way. The first step that we can all take towards becoming a healthy, growing family is by bringing others along, by just simply inviting people. Now, our service that we have on Sunday mornings, this is one thing you can invite people to. It's one thing that you can, you know, bring others along to, you know, and you might have people in your life who are open to that, who are spiritually asking questions and seeking and looking for answers. And this is a safe place to bring them to. Here at Everyday Church, we're welcoming to anyone regardless of where they're at in their faith journey. It's okay to have questions here and to not be sure of where you stand in your faith. So if you have people that are like that, this might be a great thing to bring them to. But I know that you know, you surely have people in your life who would not be comfortable going to a church service. And that might not be the thing, you know, for them, for other people in your life. There's other steps you can take in regards to inviting others and bringing others along. First of all, it starts with just inviting people into our own lives. It starts with just opening our lives up and bringing people along into our homes and into the spaces that we occupy on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, into the group of friends that we hang out with, the people that we spend our time with. It's also, you know, and then from there you can go and maybe eventually, once you have a, you know, somebody that knows you and knows your friend group and knows who you are, then it might make sense to bring them along to an everyday group, whether it's our men's group or our women's group or something else that we do as a church where people can find out a little bit more about who we are. But those are all steps that you can take before even thinking about bringing someone to a service. Because unfortunately, in church culture, in church world, just in general, there's this like very high emphasis put on the Sunday morning attendance, right? So, like, even to the point where for church leaders at times, it can become an idol. It can become a thing that's idolized. I go to, like, church conferences a lot where there's, you know, church planners and leaders and these type of things. And inevitably, one of the first questions that people ask you when they meet you is, so what are you guys running? They want to know how many people go to your church. They want to see how does their church measure up against your church? How do they measure up as a leader to you? But they're failing to realize that that's not the only measure that you look at when you're trying to evaluate whether or not your community is living out the will of God in your community. So you know, that's something that we have to protect against, and that's something that we're not, you know, this isn't the only thing that we offer. This isn't the only thing. The church where I grew up, it was a great church. I want to say that I am incredibly thankful and appreciative of that church and the way that it just played such a huge role in my life. It was a church that had like a very vibrant children's ministry and youth ministry. And there was just dozens of adults that were like Sunday school teachers and youth group sponsors that poured into hundreds of kids. And it's where the seeds were planted in me that led to me deciding to go to Bible college and to go into ministry, and ultimately what has led to me being here before you today. So I'm very thankful and appreciative for those roots of mine and the way that church played a role in my growing up in the faith. But as I look back, if I could like make one criticism, the thing that I notice now that I don't think was very healthy was the application almost always from, you know, the sermons and just from the teachings, whether it was from the lead preacher or from the youth preacher, it was just bring your friends to church. That was what we were always just bring your friends to church, bring your friends to church, bring your friends to church. And now that's not, I'm not saying like that's a bad thing. It's a good thing to bring your friends to church. But where I went to school, there were thousands of kids that no matter how many times you invited them, they were never going to come to church. You know, so we were not as students empowered and taught this truth that we just read a little bit ago in 1 Timothy 3:15, that God's family is the church and that we are the church. So that in order to reach out to these kids, it's not just, hey, you come to what we have. It's we have the Holy Spirit. We possess it in us. And we are going to go out to where people are. And just by simply being and by inviting people into our lives to share life with us, they are going to come to know who the Lord is. They are coming to come to know who Jesus is. And through that, church growth happens, and it happens naturally. It's something that I've learned here at ECC. And I'm very, very grateful for the leadership here, especially for the Bennetts, and the way that I have learned just by honestly being someone that has benefited from a life that is so committed to thinking about the other. A life that is so committed to looking and seeing where are their needs in the lives of the people around me. Where are their needs in my friends' lives, in my neighbors' lives? That's the way that we have been, you know, they have modeled for me what it means to be a Christian. And I am very grateful for that. They've taught me that evangelism, the idea of sharing the gospel with people, it's not something that is just done when you bring people to church and then the pastor and the preacher, they can then teach people the gospel. And it's also not something where you just intellectually convince somebody that the Bible is true and that Jesus is the Son of God. It's something that happens just by opening up your life to relationships. Just by living life intentionally and thinking about the others and inviting them in to the spaces that you live in. So that's the first step that we can take is bring others along. Bring others, you know, whether that's just into our own lives, also into our group of friends, and then at times even into our church service here. The next step that we can take towards becoming a healthy, loving family is by praying for the people in our lives. We all have friends. We all have family members and neighbors and coworkers and people that are around us that we're around on a regular basis, and we need to be praying for these people. We need to be praying and thinking about how can we help meet the needs of the people that are around us. How can we serve our neighbors better? How can we love our neighbors better? And that starts through prayer, through working on our own heart and getting us to a place of prayer for them. And I know, like, you know, when we think about our church growing, that type of thing, I know a lot of you work downtown. So, like, most of your friends, most of the people that you're around are spread all throughout the city. And there's, like, they're never going to come to Inwood to go to a church. I get that, but what I want you to know is God might have a role for you to play in their life that's completely separate from this community here, you know, because at Everyday Church, we know that we are one family, but we're a part of a larger family that's much bigger than just this one community that we have here, and we want to be a part of that redemption, redeeming the world, especially when it doesn't even pertain to our community. So be praying for your coworkers, the people that you're around and spending time with on a regular basis, because you never know. There may be something that you say or there may be something that you can do to serve these people that will help them eventually know the love of God, and then maybe they will plug into a church somewhere in the city or somewhere. And you also, you never know what could happen because most of y'all know Sarah Gear, and Sarah was just a coworker of Kayla. They work together in Brooklyn, of all places, way far away from here. Sarah was just a coworker that Kayla worked. They worked in the same building and somebody that Kayla was praying for. And then eventually a need came up for Sarah. She didn't have a place to live. She needed a new place to live. And Kayla helped her meet that need and connect her with a place to live here in Inwood. And through that, Sarah connected to our church, to our community, and has just been an amazing blessing to so many people here that she's just served and loved so many people so well for so long, and we're so grateful to her for that. And that's something that just happened from, you know, Kayla being praying and thinking about the people that she was working with and never knowing how God might use those relationships in order to play a role in their lives. So where was I here? Sorry about that. Okay, so yeah, so all right, so another thing, so it is important with, you know, that you're praying for your coworkers and your people wherever you are at, in your offices and the places that you work, but it's also very important that we are praying for the people that live around us, that we're praying for our neighbors, and that we are involved in the lives of our neighbors, that we are engaged with our community, you know, and if you don't have those relationships, if you don't have relationships with people around here outside of Everyday Church, then you need to get involved somewhere and you need to do something about that. You need to pray that God will help you find a place that you can plug into or somewhere where you can serve, you know, whether that's with the Pathways Mentoring Program or whether that's in Operation Exodus down in Washington Heights, a reading buddy with a kid down there, or, you know, if it's just something informal, like just inviting your neighbors into your home to share a meal and cooking for them and getting to know them and serving them. We need to take the steps to engage more with our community. And if you do have those relationships in your life, if there are people around here that you're regularly connecting with and engaging with, then we need to be praying for those people. So if you have those relationships, and regardless, we need to pray for the people in our lives. The next step that we can take towards becoming a healthy, loving family, or I'm sorry, a healthy, growing family and loving family, is by being intentional. We need to be intentional. And I know that that sounds kind of vague, and it is kind of vague. So let me break it down. We need to be intentional with how we spend our time. You know, I know that everyone's busy and that we got a lot going on, and it's New York and everybody's working, you know, 50 hours a week or more with these long commutes and all this stuff. But we, like I said a second ago, we need to be intentional about how we spend our time, especially in regards to engaging with our community. We have to make it a point to say, you know, this is important to us, and we don't want to be a church that just keeps what we have to ourselves, but we're going to make it a point to go outside of these walls, outside of the walls of this community, and engage with people and how we spend our time. So I don't really like using myself as an example at all when it's like the thing that's like you should do. I don't mind when normally it's the thing you shouldn't do that I'm the example for. But Wendy asked me to share this story, so I will just tell you. Over the last few months, you may have noticed me like taking off out of church early, or like just jumping on my bike and being gone like really quickly. You may have seen Bart or Andres show up to church in purple shorts. Let me explain that. So over next to the Hudson River in the Dykeman Fields, there's a men's soccer league that meets every Sunday, all spring and all summer. And it's like, you know, there's probably close to 200 players in the league, and just, you know, families that just spend the whole day there every Sunday for about, you know, 5-6 months. So as Kaylin and I were coming back to New York, you know, we really felt convicted about the importance of just engaging with our community. And we were thinking about, you know, how can we be more intentional with how we spend our time and make sure that we are, you know, engaged, that we are present, that we are around our neighbors. And so we decided, obviously, it makes sense with, you know, my passion, which is soccer, like, let's join the soccer league and let's be committed to it, you know. And I know that it might sound like a little silly, like, well, of course, you like playing soccer, so why would you not go to that every week? But honestly, like, with how busy our lives are, you know, just with church and with work and with school, with everything that we have going on, it is a commitment that we've had to say, you know, if we've had to say, it easily would be the first thing to cut every week, to be like, you know what, let's just not go this week. But we've said, you know what, this is important. And if we're here on a Sunday, if we're in town and the game's in the afternoon, we're going to be there no matter what. Like, if I have to do my homework, you know, at midnight that night, that's fine. Like, this is important to us to engage with our neighbors and engage with the community in that way. So we have committed ourselves to do that this year. And it's been awesome. It's been like a great way to just get to know people and just be present. And now we've like got some other people from the church that we've connected to the team. And we have, you know, some of you go and hang out over there on Sundays. And we're building inroads and relationships with the community. And we are being the church. We are still the church. That is church. You know, that's the church even outside of these walls in the world, being a light to our community and to our neighborhood. So, yeah, I would just encourage, like, all of you to think about, you know, because the thing is, it's not just a sacrifice. Like, we all have passions that God has given us. We all have talents and gifts and abilities and things that we enjoy doing. So why don't we start to think about how can we take those things that we already care about or that maybe we already do, and figure out how can we use that to connect and to engage with the community and to love our neighbors and to serve the people that live all around us. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Also, we need to be intentional about not becoming a clique. Ooh, I think I hit something. here at Everyday, we have a really strong sense of community and of unity, and that is a beautiful thing, a blessing that God has given us, and we need to cherish that. But we also need to protect against that awesome, strong sense of belonging that so many of us have. But I know that there's some people here that don't have that yet, right? But for those of us that do have that, we have to protect against that strong sense of belonging becoming exclusive. You know, and I know that there are new people that are getting involved and want to get involved, but they don't know who to connect with. They don't know how to get involved because we have something that's already so established, and we have to make sure that we don't become exclusive in that way. You know, and that it goes for, you know, our church as a whole being something that's hard to break into, but also that goes for like our our everyday groups. And that goes just for our friends that we hang out with from church. You know, if you're hanging out with the same people every Friday and Saturday night, and there's not new people getting involved in that, or if you're part of an everyday group that meets every week and goes 6 months and there's not one new person that gets involved, then something wrong with that. You know, and we have to make sure that we're being intentional about not allowing that, you know, not just hoarding this strong sense of community that we have to ourselves, right? We have to figure out how to go out and include, bring others into that, include other people. And also, you know, maybe if you're like in a group that's not really growing, maybe say, you know what, we're not going to meet for a while. Instead, we're going to go every week and we're going to serve. You know, we're going to go to the soup kitchen on 10th Avenue. We're just going to serve people because we have to get outside of these walls, outside of this comfort, this sense of comfort that we have. So all that to say, I want to say that this church growth that we're talking about, right, being a growing family. So we're kind of talking about our church growing. It's not about, like, church growth just for the sake of growth. That's not the point. You know, it's about, the point is us living life in a way that is the way God wants us to live our life. It's about loving our neighbors as ourselves. It's about serving and looking for the ways just to be a light to the community without any agenda, right? It's not treating people as a project or a number, or we want our church to grow, so we need to all go reach all these people. It's about this is how we should be living our life. And if we are living our life in a way that reflects who God is and reflects his kingdom, then the church is going to grow naturally. So Peter, God used Peter in some incredible ways, right? And that was just a guy who his brother went and brought him along. Peter, Jesus actually said that Peter would be the rock that his church was built on. And Peter actually even wrote a book of the Bible. He wrote a book of the Bible, and in that book, there's a verse that says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. The hope that we have is Jesus Christ, right? That is why we're here. That is why we do this. That is why we're having, you know, this sermon series on family. That is why we're having this talk this morning about being a growing family, because of what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus was God himself who came down to earth in humility as a baby. He was born. He lived as a child. He lived a perfect life among all of his creation, facing the same struggles and the same temptations that all of us face. Lived a flawless, blameless life without sin, without blemish. And then he went and died, suffered the greatest injustice, was crucified on a cross in our place because he loves us. That's what he did for us so that we may be reunited back with him. And that is the hope that we have. We have to remember that. We have to dwell in that space. And we also have to live our lives in a way that reflects that. Because something Wendy pointed out to me was, it's not just about being prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that you have. It's living your life in a way that will prompt people to ask. Because if we're not living that way, then why would anyone want to know what's different? We're not going to look any differently than the world. So we have to live our lives in a way that is intentional, that is prayerful, inviting others along into our lives and into our community, into our church. All right, so I'm going to get a little bit real for a second, and this is mostly to geared towards myself and geared towards people that would consider everyday church your church home and have been here for a while. If you don't fall in those categories, then you can just check out, sit tight, don't worry. but if you are somebody that considers this your church home, that you would say everyday church is my church, this is my community. I want to say to you, and this is something, a conviction that I felt in preparing for this message, in large part because I feel like I have not done my best. But I would say that for far too long, our church's growth has been way too dependent on the Bennetts, and also before they left, the Travises. The Bennetts and the Travises, really, I would say, you know, this church is the fruit of their labor. It is the fruit of them living their lives this way, intentionally, loving the people around them, serving the people around them, looking for ways to invite them into their lives, and inviting us into their lives. That is why we are here. You know, I don't want to say, there have been some of you that have, you know, been a part of living that way as well, and I want to commend you. I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm just trying to say that I think right now we got to say that we have seen this model for us for years. We have been the beneficiaries of this, you know, the way that they have just been such a great example and of just loving us. And we got to say that, you know what, it's time for us to tag in and join them. And I want to say, you know, I want to ask all of you just to join me in repenting of the way that we maybe have not pulled our weight around here and say that, you know what, it's time to make a change. It's time to say we're going to be more intentional. We're going to be more intentional about engaging with our community. We're going to be more prayerful. We're going to be more focused on praying for our neighbors and looking for ways to serve and love the people that are around us. And we're going to be more more intentional about bringing others along, about bringing people, opening up our life and bringing people into it. And also, you know, just inviting people into our social circles, into our group of friends, because the truth is we are the church. So we don't just have to bring people to this Sunday service. We don't have to do any of that. We just need to bring people into our lives. So most of you should have all got this paper when you came in. Did everybody get this little card? If you didn't get a card, raise your hand, and I think Larry is going to give you a card. You should also have a pen. If you don't have a pen, there's pens on the tables, on the sides. Feel free to get up for a second and grab a pen or whatever if you need. I want everybody to have a card and a pen. It's a really awesome looking card that I asked Wendy to make at the last minute, and she made like hundreds of these. So thank you, Wendy. All right, everybody got a card and a pen? All right, good. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna take like a minute. And we're just going to think and pray about the people that are in our lives and think about who we can be more intentional about, who we can be praying for more, who we can invite more into our life, right? So think about your neighbors, think about your coworkers, think about your friends, think about the people that are outside of this everyday church circle that we have here. And if you have a hard time coming up with names, then, you know, you can leave some spaces blank if you want to pray and think about it more. Or you can write ways that you're going to engage with the community. You're going to write the thing or a couple things that you're going to do in order to engage more with the community. So let's just take a minute and just kind of sit here in silence and think about that. And I'm going to do it with you all as well, because I haven't done this yet and I need to do this too. So take a minute. All right, everybody done, or are you going to take some more time at home? Need more time right now, or? Okay, take another few minutes. Okay, no problem. Another minute. All right, give about 10 more seconds. All right, so what I would encourage you all to do with that paper is put it in your wallet or put it in your purse, somewhere that you can guard it closely. Maybe put it like on your mirror at home, somewhere that you'll see daily and regularly. so that we can be praying for these people that are in our lives, that are already in our lives. We can be praying for our neighbors and for our friends and for our coworkers, for the kids we go to school with. I don't want to put a timeline on this. You know, like sometimes with these type of things, we say, oh, we're going to commit to praying every day for 1 week. Or we're going to pray, you know, once a week for a month or two, or different things like that. I don't want to do that this time, because I think that this is something that this needs to become a part of our life, how we live our life. This isn't just an activity or a cool thing to do. We need to be constantly, you know, in our life thinking outwardly about how we can love and serve the people around us and how we can be inviting others into our life and into our church community. So with that said, I'm going to pray for the people that I wrote down on my card and that we all wrote down on our cards right now. And then the band's going to come up and play a song. Sound good? All right, I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for bringing us all here this morning, and I thank you for the way that you have used this church in the lives of all of us that are here, just to really teach us so much about who you are and about how much you love us, Lord. And I thank you for the way that this church has come through to really, truly, genuinely meet the physical needs of myself and of so many people that are here, Lord. And that is how that love of Christ has been communicated to us. Lord, I thank you for the leadership here. Lord, I thank you for the Bennetts, and I thank you for the Travises, and the way that they modeled so well for us what it means to be, a good neighbor, what it means to be someone that loves their neighbor as themselves, Lord. And I just ask that you would help us to step up to the plate and to say, you know what? Now it's time for us to become a part of playing a role in the redemption of our city, Lord, of our neighborhood, our community, and of our world, so that you may be glorified and so that your love may be spread, Lord. We pray for all the names of the people that we wrote down on these cards, Lord. We thank you for those people, Lord, for the way that they are created in your image and they reflect you and who you are, God. And we just ask that you will help us to be intentional in thinking about those people, Lord, that we would continue to pray for them and look for opportunities to serve them and to help meet their needs so that we may communicate God's love to them, Lord, but not because we're treating them as a number or a project or anything like that, but just because we love them, Lord, because you first loved us, Lord. So we thank you for who you are and for everything that you've done for us. I mean, it's your son's name that we pray. Amen.